Y'all, hey, what's going on out there? How y'all doing today? Happy Monday to you. It's the first day of the work week, and I know some of y'all dragging out there, but it's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay, I guarantee you. You know why? Because you're listening to the show, for number one, and number two, you're listening to the show. Oh, I'm gonna let y'all work that one out, okay, before I give you the real, the unadulterated version of it. But I'm going to let y'all figure that part out first before I go any further. Of course, you know, I give y'all type that room or ability to figure it out on your own. Anyway, welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. And man, I am telling you, it has been a great, great, great weekend for myself and me and my other half. I got to say, my wife and I, because we, man, I tell you, we had a very, it was a very busy weekend, but yet a very enjoyable one. Can I say we got some things accomplished and we had a fun time doing it. So, you know, it's always great when you and your mate can do that. You know what I mean? But anyway, so I was just letting y'all know that. But, you know, if you want to be a part of the show today, just give me a call, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com. Or you join us in the chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk, and those are all the ways you can participate in the show today. And understand, you know, we turn no callers away. Of course, we may shoot you every now and then, but that's only when you violate some rules, which are, you know, basically simple. Act as an like an adult when you call in. Don't talk over people. Let other people, you know, get their comments in. And what I've noticed a lot of times is the main people that complain about other people talking over them are the main ones that violating the rules. So, you know, if we can control that, we'd be better off. Also, no personal attacks, you know, none whatsoever. Also, no use of any derogatory terms or foul language because we don't like that either. And, you know, all is good. You know, just conduct yourself as the adult that we all are here, and we can have a great dialogue and just have fun at the same time. You know, don't call in here starting nothing, okay? And I'm going to tell you, if you come here throwing lefts and rights, I used to say this a long time ago, and I got away from it, but I'm going to tell you again. If you come on throwing lefts and rights, don't expect Mr. Talk to save you, because I'm going to have to let you sit there and take your lumps just like you gave out when you came on the air. All right? So as long as we have that established, I think we shall just quite fine with the show. Oh, man, I am feeling so wonderful today. Oh, boy, I tell you, nothing like throwing weights around and getting a little get a little cardiac in, you know, early in the morning, time to get that blood pressure going. I'm telling you. Lord have mercy. But so, you know, it's all good. All right, y'all. So before we go any further, of course, you know, I got to bring my co-host in because, you know, I always got to bring co-host in, you know, and today is no different. Let me bring my co-host, you know, Akeem in, better known as Cloud Nation Radio. All right. What's up, man? How you doing today? How was your weekend?
Oh, man, it was smoother than Billy D. Williams, I got to tell you.
Oh, boy, man, you went back a little bit on that one. Oh, have mercy. That's good, man. That's good. You know, glad to see you can make it back all in one piece and able to speak. You know, because some people didn't make it through, if you know what I mean. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. It's feeling real good outside right now. You know, the summertime experience has definitely made its presence into my city, my environment. So, I think at the moment, you know, I feel good. I mean, if the moment was a soundtrack, it might be Paid in Full by Rakim, Thinking of a Master Plan. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Thinking of a Master Plan. That's outstanding. I like that. Oh, man, I used to like that song, too. I mean, I can't say I used to because I still like it when I hear it. But, you know, that's far in between right about now. But I still love it when I hear it. Oh, man, I tell you. Well, let me tell you about my weekend. You know, like I said, I had a very, very busy but enjoyable weekend. I really did. You know, we had lunch with our church family Saturday, and then we went down to a resort, you know, hung out there on, you know, Saturday evening. Of course, Sunday morning, got up and, you know, went into the house of worship and handled our business there. And then yesterday afternoon, I was invited, we were invited to a ballet. Now, let me go with that. You know, I have only seen ballet on the boob tube, okay? I personally had never witnessed it live, a live performance. So this was really something new for me. I'm not going to lie. I figured after the first 30 minutes, I'd be gone to sleep. You know, I'm telling the truth. You know, I'd be in slumberland. However, once I got there, oh, man, you talking about a treat? And something just wonderful. Let me preference the rest of my comments by saying that, you know, this was not by a professional troupe or anything like that. This was a local ballet school, and their students were the ones actually putting on the performance. And I mean, we had ages from 5 all the way up to, say, 30, maybe 40. Some of the adults may have been 40. But they were all students of this ballet class. And, man, I am telling you, you talking about something wonderful? Wow. Man, it was beautiful. It really was. And the ballet was, Hansella and Greta. No, what was it? Hansel and Greta. Hansel and Greta, but since they didn't have any guys participating, they changed it to Hansella, which, you know, made them sisters, because y'all know I had to ask the other question, what is this, some kind of crazy, but, you know, it's just, they were sisters, Hansella and Gretel, and it was a very, very, very nice performance. But the biggest thing I came away with, you know, while watching this, besides just a great performance that was given, was how many minorities not only participated in the ballet itself, but at all the minority parents that were out in the audience there to support their kids. Man, and you know, I couldn't have been prouder. So I'm like, wow, there is actually light at the end of the tunnel as far as, you know, parents actually supporting their kids, whether it's in the arts or whatever they're doing. And I was just floored by it. And I want to give all kudos out to all those parents, you know, because they were there no matter what, and it was so wonderful, so wonderful. So I just had to let y'all know that because I was really touched by that, and it was really something that I enjoyed. And basically what I'm saying is if you have a chance, you have never been to a ballet, you know, if you have one in your city or area, especially if you have a class or school that puts on performances, hey, man, I say check it out, you know, support them because it's a very, very beautiful thing. You know, the music is always, always just whew, nice. You know, it's nice. And, you know, and the funny part about it is the most intriguing part is you get caught up. You get caught up in the music, you know, and as you get caught up in the music, then you get caught up in the dancers and dancing and the little minute things that's being done on stage that you notice. And you know, I just love it. I love it. I think I'm going to have to see if we have any professional ballets coming around so I can check that out too. I mean, if it's this wonderful at the beginning stage, the beginner stage, man, I can just imagine what it is on the professional level, you know. So that's what I'll be checking out. Of course, I love the symphony, so I haven't been able to go to an opera yet. That's another thing I want to do is attend a live opera, you know, but we'll get to those things. No, those are not even on the bucket list. Those things that will be accomplished. So I'm not even worried about that. All right, y'all. I guess I've talked enough about my week. I've talked enough about my week here. But I just had to let y'all know that because, you know, I just found that very, very interesting and wonderful at the same time. Oh, excuse me. Have I talked enough, King?
I know. I think that was good. I think people need to know that, you know, sometimes that it's good that you shared your experience. You know, that might inspire some people who may have been a little skeptical on experiencing the ballet. I agree with you. The ballet is the orchestra. Those are some great experiences. Live theater, awesome experiences to have. And the beautiful thing is, you know, there's always somewhere where you can find some of those experiences where they will fit your budget. So for you know, there are a variety of different places where you can check out. Like you said, the hardest one to get, you know, that might fit in a budget may be an opera because, you know, opera is one of those things where it's very selective of where they produce those types of programs. So yeah, that like you said, that's a pretty hefty tag on the opera performance.
Yes, it is.
It really is.
Oh man, I agree with you 100%. Oh man, I'm telling you, boy. I tell you, I was like, whew, you know, that was a perfect ending to a very busy weekend for sure for me, but it was an enjoyable one. All right. Now, we're going to move on. Let's see. We got to give our shout-outs because we haven't had our shout-outs yet. And let's see who we got. We got, Ziggy 112, Iggy Mom in the house. Welcome. I haven't seen her in a long time on the show, but glad to have you back. Of course, we've got a Laura Elverness. We got my chat room coordinator, Antoinette, in the house. And we got that person named Ava Indiana. Of course, we got my boy Akeem, Cloud Nation Radio, and then we got Enjoying Life from T-Town calling, what's going on? Then we got the old Grumpy Pianki on here who always is trying to be cynical and stuff. And then we got Supernatural Radio in the house. And welcome. I'm glad everybody could join us. And all right, y'all. I'm sorry. No, no, no. I lost my connection for a hot moment. My bad. My bad. And excuse me, Pianki, but I do not have an Obama phone, and it wasn't on my end. Thank you, sir. Now, okay, so we back. We back. We back. Let's see. Let's see. Let's see. Who was I left out? Oh, Supernatural Radio. Supernatural Radio. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Okay, we got you. We got you. All right. And I'm glad y'all can join us today, and I hope we have fun. Man, we got a show for you today. We're going to talk a little bit about everything. That girl, Stan Stevano, you know, Donna Sterling, little hot girlfriend. Well, apparently there's a recording out of her bashing black people, okay? And now they saying she's being racist. Well, I've listened to it, okay? And honestly, she's not saying anything that we don't say here on the show on a daily basis. So, you know, we're going to get to playing that too, because I think it's just crazy. Yeah, I saw that where she supposedly got beaten up by two men over the weekend. So it's going to be interesting. Or should I say accosted by two men over the weekend. Well, when you ask for that 15 minutes of fame, hey, sometimes you got to be careful what you ask for. And that's what the old folk used to say, correct? Of course. All right. Anyway, and also we're going to talk about the prisoner swap, you know, between the United States and the Taliban through Qatar, you know, who was doing all the negotiating, and why Congress has a big problem with it, especially the so-called two big guns, John McCain and Ted Cruz. You know, we're going to talk a little bit about that also. So I think we got a real good day planned for you. So just sit back, go on, get that cup of joe, that glass of wine, and get ready for some fun and some really interesting conversation. You know, I'm always looking for that. And but before we get into it hot and heavy, we're going to give our callers and visitors to the chat room a few more moments to get in here before we get started. So, you know, and hopefully Michael will go on a call in too, so he won't be like, what y'all talking about? So hopefully he'll be listening. He's listening also, and we can get all that taken care of. All right, so what we're about to do now is listen to some Robert Cray, man, and get it going with that, because, hey, it's all good, and we need some music. Some of y'all need some music to pep y'all from Monday afternoon up. All right, so without further ado, here's Mr. Robert Cray and Consequences, and I'll see y'all on the other side.
Tell the truth is a big mistake. Home.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was, man. Robert Cray and Consequences. I don't know. That should have got somebody moving because I was out here bobbing my head, stomping my foot. For a moment, I had to, I almost got the church shout on, but I had to catch myself on that one. Oh, man, I tell you. Oh, once again, Mr. Robert Cray and Consequences. Hey, I'm telling you, you can find on iTunes and wherever you get your music from, you can find Mr. Robert Cray. I mean, he's been around for a while, man, and all his music, I just love him. Okay, so that was almost better than my workout. But anyway, we want to welcome H2O into the house also. You know, he finally has shown up. Oh, I see they see guest 1233. Welcome to the show also. I don't want to make anybody upset because I didn't call their name. All right, once again, this is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Hall Radio, and I'm Mr. Talk, and I got my co-host Akeem in the house also, better known as Cloud Nation Radio. And if you want to be a participant on the show, just give us a call, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com. And don't forget, you can join us in the chat room as well, www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. And you can participate in the conversation that goes on in the chat room. Because most of the time, it's some deep conversation going on there as well. So however you want to participate, come on, join us for some great conversation and fun right here, man, right here for the next 2-3 hours, all right? So, anyway, let me go ahead and bring my boy, let me bring Mr. Joe in the house and Mr. Pianki. Welcome, gentlemen. How are y'all doing today?
Eric Pianki. Good weekend, I hope.
Joe, Eric.
Hey, how you doing, Joe?
Hey, Cloud. I want to give a shout out to you. Do you know your co-host Eric goes the extra mile every show? I think he PMs everybody personally to say hello, how are you? So he's got like 13 guests in the chat room. He gives out 13 PMs to make everybody feel welcome.
So
I want to let you know, just in case you didn't know that.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to hear that. Well, you know, I do the same thing most of the time, you know, well, to the
I never day. Got a freaking PM from you.
Well, because I know who you are, and you just grouch anyway.
Oh, okay.
So there's no need.
That's right. Just let the old-timers come in and take it for granted. Okay.
Yeah. We know. All right. Yes, Pianki, I heard you call my name. It's too early to get shot, Pianki.
How you doing, Eric?
I'm doing wonderful. And yourself?
I'm doing fine.
How you doing, Pianki?
I'm happy. Fine, Joe. How you doing? You know, I'm happy to hear that
Nathan.
You... Oh, how you doing, Nathan? Eric, I'm happy to hear that you took your wife to a quote-unquote civilized event, going to the ballet and not a Lil Wayne concert.
See,
start now. Now, didn't I just tell him it's too early to get shot and he want to go there and play with me like that? Man, what the world is going on?
Oh,
good Lord. We barely 30 minutes into the show.
Man.
Already. Good Lord. What's really?
I think you knew you were getting that one.
Lord.
God, didn't have a chance to put on his bulletproof vest.
I know, right? Lord, already just starting something, trying to start something.
Oh,
you know?
Man. Oh,
you know? Good Lord. Just, I don't know, man. Anyway, while he over there fixing his, it's true. Let me go bring somebody else in here, see who we have. All right, 111, welcome to the show. Who do I have here?
Oh, Mr. Boring. Mr. No excitement, Mr. No thrills, Mr. Make the show boring.
Oh, that
that's
must me. Be
that's me. All right, how's everybody?
We're doing wonderful, Beasley. How are you today?
I'm cool. Handling things.
You're not going to be boring today, are you, B?
Yeah, I don't feel particularly inspired, but that seems to change.
Okay.
Yes, doesn't it always? All right, let me bring. Yeah. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, B.
No, I'm fine. Go ahead. Just bring the next person in.
Okay, let me bring P. Incubating. Hopefully, he has something more intelligent to say than that craziness he started off with. All right, Pianki, you back on. Good afternoon first. How are you?
Well, were they, the older performers at the event standing on their toes, or had they been doing it for quite some time, I guess?
Well, yeah, actually, all of the performers were on their toes except for the little tiny, tiny young ladies. But all of them were on their toes, though. It was really a real nice ballet, actually.
Have you ever seen the Dance Theater of Harlem?
No, I haven't.
They're particularly good.
No. Hopefully I get to see them or some professional ballet troupe or group, you know.
I'm assuming they're still in operation.
Yeah. But,
they are particularly good.
Well, yeah, they're well known. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, as I said, that was my first actual ballet, and you know, I really enjoyed it. Like I said, I thought within the first 30 minutes, you know, I'd be in slumberland, but it didn't work out that way, and I was actually awake and paying full attention, which is another surprise, but it was wonderful.
You know, I've never been to the ballet, but I like the ballet. And if somebody were to invite me to go to the ballet, because I don't think it'd be my own idea, unless, you know, who was the guy that, the Russian that was really famous? I mean, there was two.
Baryshnikov.
Baryshnikov. Well, he's been retired for years. But if I were to go, I'd probably enjoy it, because it takes a lot of skill to do those pirouettes and that flying swan stuff, but I would never go to a freaking opera.
Operas can be good if you can follow the story.
Yeah, you know what? I watched some opera on television, and I kind of fell in love with it from just watching it on television. But the key is, as Beasley say, you have to make sure you're able to follow the storyline. Because if you can't follow the storyline, you're just out there. Because 9 times out of 10, you're not going to understand the words.
It's sung in Italian.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why it sucks to me.
Sung in Italian. No, well, gosh, it's...
Yeah,
some Verdi and Vivaldi.
I mean, it's very well
my
known.
My favorite is Carmen.
But I don't. Yes. I just don't like it. I mean, I've listened to it. I saw them on TV, but I just don't like it.
Yeah,
Carmen can bring tears to your eyes. That's beautiful stuff right there. That's Bizet.
That's you eating a freaking sandwich with onions, pizza.
No. It's touching for those of us with that have had some cultural type things like that installed in us. I know you're military people.
Oh, excuse me. Here we start now. Okay.
All right. Carmen is good. That's all I'm going to say. Okay. All right. Let's move on to the first topic. Let's get out the ballet. I suggest anybody want to check out the ballet. You know, symphony. Or whatever, you know, hey, they're all fun now. All right, so first thing, Miss Stevano, however you pronounce her name, apparently she was caught mocking black people. And I found the footage, and of course I downloaded it so everybody can hear it. And then I'm about to play it here in a few moments. And when we come back, we'll have some... comments on it, because I'm really interested to see what y'all have to say about this, because it's very interesting.
It's a piece of shit, regardless of what, even if nobody found out what she had said. I'm not aware of what she said, but she's a piece of shit anyway.
Oh, Joe. All right, so here it is. It's about 1:08, and then we'll be right back. Here's the comments.
BS. I don't understand these people. I don't understand black people. The minute you give them a little bit of money, they don't know what to do with it. They just act crazy. They want to put extra rims. Why do you think they create, they're like, yo, I want to put some rims on top of my rims, and my rims are going to turn around. So I'm going to call them what? Spinners? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm going to do. That's how much money I have. That's exactly what I'm going to do. And they do stupid shit like that. when there's people starving around the world? That's what people want me to do with their money?
She's never driving me anywhere because I'm like one of those hood rats that wants to get picked up on. So listen up, folks. I'm looking for someone to pick me up. But Emma wants to get Raquel Lee head. May I please give Raquel Lee head? Look at the officer on the side looking at us. Emma, don't worry about it. She's black. We don't like black people.
Well, that was a short. It was real short. And the last bit, I don't know if y'all really heard it, but it was, they were riding in an automobile. She was the passenger, and she was holding the Elmo, and she put it in the other girl's lap like she was the Elmo was performing a sexual act. Y'all, I know y'all can imagine what act that was. But anyway, so you know that basically those are the comments that they release now. Here's the question, especially about the first part, the first part of it. Why is that? Is that racist? Is that really racist?
No. It depends upon the intention. It's not just so much what the words are. It depends upon her intention. She sounds like a Puerto Rican. I know she's like half Mexican, half black, but she sounds like a Puerto Rican.
Would consider that racist, what you just said. They had a school-age child in the class telling one of his classmates that he was light-skinned. They wrote him up for being racist. So, no, it wasn't racist.
Is this just another example of how politically correct America has become?
Well, that too. I mean, she's allowed to be a racist if she is a real. Again, it depends upon her intention. She's probably a self-loathing, whatever she is. The thing is, though, is that I don't like it because she sold herself off to a freaking 81-year-old man just to have cars and houses, and she's uglier than shit.
Joe.
Yeah.
You got women out there that'll sell themselves out for dinner in a movie. Or to get their phone bill paid.
And I don't this care woman, for them either.
This woman, well, all right, but this woman, just respect the game, though. This woman did whatever she did. Let me finish the thought. I'll be brief. Mm-hmm. This woman did whatever she did to get a $1.8 million duplex in the center of Los Angeles in a prime area. She has a Bentley, a Ferrari, and probably countless other gifts in cash. She did pretty well for herself in the land of gold diggers. Her statement's not that big of a deal.
Oh, okay.
You know, they said she got beat up today in New York City.
Are you going to be brief?
That was brief.
Oh, all right.
I'm done.
Oh, okay. Here's the thing. People sell themselves out. Well, if you're a woman or a man selling yourself out and pretending to like somebody, and that person may fall in love with you as a result of your deception, to me, you're a scumbag.
The world is full of scumbags, then, Joe. And I would as far as that goes, that's the norm for Los Angeles. That's
good.
97% of the women are scumbags.
That's
probably
Babylon.
Babylon, whatever. New York City's not Babylon. Miami Beach isn't. Miami
New York
isn't Babylon.
City's a swampland.
San Francisco's definitely Babylon and Sodom and Gomorrah, but that's another show. I don't want to get started on that.
But in any case, that's the reason why I don't like her. And now again, to go back to your question, Eric, are we becoming too politically correct? Yes.
Oh, okay.
I mean, politically incorrect, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think she has the right to say any stupid thing that she wants to say, but then people have to judge her for what she truly is. So,
she's a successful gold and diamond digger. She's one of the best that did it.
Well, good for your values, B.
It's not my values.
You
not
seem
my
like
values.
You like her.
I don't necessarily like her. I wouldn't necessarily
make her like
wouldn't.
What she's doing.
No, I respect it.
Yeah, same.
I respect the game.
All right, so you respect the game.
Yeah, but this is what it's about. This is what it's about. At the end of the day, everyone make their moral judgments, but this woman did what she did and got what she got.
Okay, so let me ask this question. Let me put this out there. If that is the case, is this an example of, once again, character assassination to make her look not as the victim, but, you know, the perpetrator of Donald Sterling's issues?
Well, you don't have to go far to make that kind of assessment, because she taped the guy, released the tapes in order to hurt him in retaliation for his ex-wife trying to sue her for, it's not alienation of affection, which is not what I heard about, but for getting these gifts from him. Now the fact that he allowed himself to be taken advantage of, that's another thing. But I don't respect the game. I don't think that people are going to be happy selling themselves into relationships in which they're not happy in order to get material goods, because, again, they're not going to be happy with the goods. They have to go towards the next stimulation, and they're not making their partner happy. So both people who enter up into that kind of relationship, now, unless the 81-year-old guy, Sterling, is that much of a fool to believe that he actually, you know, thought that she had some kind of morals, he's just as stupid as she is crooked.
Let me ask you this, Joe. Mm-hmm. Do you think she's any less immoral than he?
Any less immoral than he?
Do you think he's some barometer, or he's some pillar when it comes to morality? Don't you think he has a few proverbial bodies buried somewhere?
Yeah, sure.
Seriously. And at the end of the day, it works out good for him. What's surprising to me, Sterling yesterday went to a black church somewhere in the hood in Los Angeles. I never heard of the church.
He's
still concerned, even though he's been declared mentally incapacitated, which means he can't make decisions, okay? He's still concerned about his public image.
Yeah, you're right.
He's still concerned about his public image. Well, and I mean... No, obviously. Why go to the dang black church now?
Well, because it's probably the strategy of his lawyers, because he did say that his lawyers were dragged out the selling of the team for 20 years.
No, well, that's not what's happening. The team is going to be sold. There's a
cash offer on
the table. I'm pretty sure that the team's going to be sold, and the team's actually what they're doing is kind of masterful, you know. The team is going to be sold. That's going to be a done deal, okay? He's going to get his cut. His wife's going to get his cut, and there it is. And he's going to have a separate $1 billion lawsuit against the NBA. Where the team's already gone, then he has a $1 billion lawsuit.
Okay, then that might be
the
reason.
And he filed the $1 billion lawsuit. So
that might be the reason why he may be allowing that team to be sold, because that might be the crux of his case in order to sue the NBA.
He's going to be able to sue. It's kind of pretty crafty.
Yeah,
pretty crafty, but you know it's going to take a long time. He end up with a. I don't know if he even end up with a settlement. You know, this is something that's going to be a while. Meanwhile, the team's going to be.
Well, look at it real quick. I mean, the guy is flush with cash anyway, and he owned a law firm. I don't know if he still owns the law firm, but he's a lawyer. He has lawyers on deck, okay? So you sell the team, you get this cash infusion. All this big, huge windfall just adds to his war chest to fight the battle with the NBA. It's kind of beautiful.
I guess you have a point there. Can't really argue.
I got an extra, you know, $750 million after taxes. I got an extra $750 million, and, oh, here, take five of it and give these dudes hell for screwing with me.
Yeah, okay, I can see that. I can see that logic. If it really is going to work that way, but we shall see. We shall see. But I just thought that was interesting. All of a sudden now this supposedly recording pops up with her dissing black people. And, you know, like I said, I mentioned earlier in the show, I don't see anything wrong with it because she's really not stating anything that we haven't stated on this show numerous times. So, you know, it's all right. It'll be okay. You know, that's her way of staying in the news. In addition to her getting beat up this weekend, well, yesterday, I think, by two males. So, oh, well, it'll be all right. You know, it is what it is. All right, moving right along. Let's get to another topic I really want to get into today. And that's about this prisoner swap that went on. You know, now, this was really interesting, and it has some of the GOP big shots really upset about it. Basically, you know, John McCain and Ted Cruz, you know, the main individuals that always got a problem with something. And, you know, in an interview on Face the Nation, McCain actually mentioned that this was something that was talked about 2 years ago. 2 years ago. You know, now, if it was talked about 2 years ago, why are they upset? Man, not again. Why are they upset that,
You got beach property, Eric.
Yeah, I mean, why are they upset that, the president and them didn't give them 30 days this time to let them know that the deal was being done? Or negotiate it. Do you think that's a violation of the American law?
Absolutely.
Number one,
by law, he has to notify them 30 days in advance. Also, he did it by executive order, which means he bypassed Congress in two ways. So yeah, so Obama's now exercising more of his dictatorship agenda. So of course, it's something to be upset about.
Why? Why should it be upset
because
about?
Because the president is not supposed to do things on his own. He's supposed to go through Congress. Congress makes the laws. He's bypassing the laws. He's violating the law.
But you got a Congress that stonewalled him.
That makes
every little thing different. Well, there's a reason why there's an executive privilege or whatever they call it, executive orders. I don't necessarily agree with it.
These
people play politics with world affairs, and that's just all they're doing. Prisoner swaps have happened all throughout history. In Korea, I know there have been prisoner swaps. There were prisoner swaps in the Vietnam War. This just happens.
There's something sneaky about this because you've got one guy who walked off his base. Now they're saying that he's probably a traitor. And now they're swapping him for five top-level supposed terrorist leaders. Now, how is one guy supposedly worth these five top terrorist leaders? There's something that's not being reported. Something smells in Denmark.
Well, there's something that always smells in all these type and all these type of things. Any type of government action, there's probably something rotten there. But you know, you'd probably feel a little differently if this were your son that was held in captivity. McCain may be pissed. It's like shit. No one swapped me, and I sat in that damn hole with some crazy Vietnamese for 8 years. maybe that's his issue.
How long was he at the Hanoi Hilton?
I think he was there. 8 years.
8 years?
I think five. I think there was 5 years.
Long enough.
Yeah.
He made himself real cozy over there.
Huh?
Yeah, right. Real cozy, living in a dang hole in the ground. I watched, what was the movie? The Deer Hunter. And I've seen The Apocalypse Now. Goodness.
And that's why his former POWs put up a website saying that you should... McCain shouldn't even be voted for when he was running for president because they believed he was a traitor.
Well,
the fact the guy was a pilot The guy's not a hero. When you're dropping phosphorus bombs on villages in which there's no air force, you're not a hero.
Mm.
Yeah. What goes around comes around.
Well, that's true. But here's another thing I want to ask. And Joe brought it up here a moment ago. And that was, you know, this guy, dang it, what's his name? I can't never pronounce his name. Bergdahl, or something like that. But, you know, they're saying some of his fellow soldiers and the platoon members stated that, he just walked off. He walked off the base, I mean, his guard duty. And, you know, I was looking at what they actually said his statements were, and it's really interesting because, you know, it kind of puts a whole new perspective on what happened. All right, here's something. According to firsthand accounts from soldiers in his platoon, Bergdahl, while on guard duty, shed his weapons and walked off the observation post with nothing more than a compass, a knife, water, and a digital camera, and a diary. Here's another one from Sergeant Mac Verkant, a member of his platoon also, said, Bergdahl needs not only to acknowledge his actions publicly, but face a military trial for desertion under UCMJ, which is Uniform Code of Military Justice. There's something else here, another one about what he said. Oh, here it is right here. The future is too good to waste on lies, Bo wrote to his parents, and life is way too short to care for the damnation of others, as well as to spend it helping fools with their ideas that are wrong. I have seen their ideas, and I am ashamed to even be American. The horror of the self-righteous arrogance that they thrive in, it is all revolting. I am sorry for everything. The horror that America is disgusting. And he also wrote to a friend, if deployment is lame, I'm going to get lost in the mountains and make my way to China. So now, now that's supposed to from his fellow soldiers and things. Now I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking about a soldier being a soldier on guard duty. I'm thinking about this thing. You know, what would make a soldier just get up, drop everything, and just walk out a post? Number one, nobody tried to stop him. Okay, that's number one. Number two, you know, why didn't anybody try and stop him if they knew that's what he was doing? And number three, it's more to this story that is happening. And that the biggest thing is simple. Could there have been some type of mental illness involved with this whole thing that no one is really willing to admit to?
You know, when you were describing it and the little quick reading I did on it, you've got to be crazy to take in the middle of a war zone to take your arms and take everything off and just go walk off towards the enemy. You got to be crazy. Something's not right, because they could have shot and killed him just as soon as they took him as a prisoner.
Right.
You know, how long was he held?
5 years.
5 years.
Man.
I don't even think he can speak English now.
Yeah, they said he learned a dying language so he could cope. Yeah. You know.
Who knows?
Well, he's mentally ill now, that's for sure. They didn't put him up in the Hilton.
You never know. I mean, they might have treated him pretty good to get whatever information they can out of him.
Mm.
And he was held where, in Afghanistan or in Iraq? In Afghanistan?
Yeah.
Who knows what happened to him? I mean, they might have made him have sex with a camel. I mean, who knows? Anything's possible, but it is a strange story. And he's definitely mentally ill. Right, and he was mentally ill before, and he's even more mentally ill now.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. You know? And East Coast says, why are we hearing this story about the sergeant at the time of his release? Well, you know, for for those on the outside, you know, you're not going to hear about it. You know, like once the big hoorah dies down, you know, it's in the wind. Then it's a perfect example. MH370. You know, when last time you heard about that? Besides, have you heard that, you know, a private company is taking over the investigation trying to find the plane now? See, so once the big hoorah and excitement is over with, you know, everything just moves on. Now, in this case, I do believe that as long as we had soldiers over there, there was always a attempt to trying to find out where he was. See, once again, we have to understand that this is something that is always worked on behind the lines, you know, under everything else, because, you know, once our media grabs hold to it, it's over with. You know, it's over with. Now, John McCain says he has a problem with this because the five prisoners that were released for this soldier, the Taliban requested them specifically, you know. And here's another thing. The government, Qatar government, which mediated the negotiations, are supposed to hold the detainees for a year. Now, listen to this. This is the interesting part. Now, and they say they have measures in place to ensure U.S. national security is not compromised. Now, you a whole different government. How you going to make that happen? But wait a minute. The detainees are not allowed to travel, but allowed to live with their families. Does this sound really... Okay, the detainees can't travel, but the families can. Does this... Does this sound strange to anyone besides me? And to add to it, one of the guys that were that was released, besides being a member of the Taliban, he was one of the biggest poppy growers in the area. There's another flag nobody's talking about. So, you know, like I said, there's more things going on with this prisoner swap than they are really letting on to. And of course, you know, you got John McCain saying, you know, well, look at Iraq and you know, the Fallujah. Now, you know, me and I don't know if Lowe did. I think he once or twice went through there, too. Me and Lowe know what Fallujah was all about. And we drove through there a couple of times, you know. But how could you not see that once you pull out, things were going to go back to the same? It's simple. Number one, we let them know when we was leaving. So that made it real easy. We'll just wait till they leave, and then bam, 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 we're gone. You know, so Afghanistan can get the same way, but they don't want us in Afghanistan either. So you really have to look at this thing. And the Afghan government is upset because, why? Because they are Afghan men, and they think they should be released unconditionally. So, you know, this political game that they're playing is really interesting, and I think it's just more political hoorah and boo-boo than anything else. But yes, Joe, go ahead.
Did you drive through Fallujah before or after the massacre?
It was just before, because after a while, we got the word that it was off limits and our routes had to go elsewhere.
All right, so driving through afterwards, that had to be heart-wrenching.
It was heart-wrenching before.
Oh, yeah?
But anyway, yeah. But, you know, and that's what I'm saying. You know, I don't know what John McCain believes that we should leave soldiers and troops in these places. Why? Why? Does that make any sense? Why would we leave troops in that area?
Are you talking about withdrawal but leaving troops, or are you talking about POWs?
No. Leaving after our withdrawal, leave troops
over there. Oh, that. Yeah, that's nothing but a political ballgame. That's political smoke and mirrors. There's no such thing as withdrawal, just like when they said that the war in Iraq was over. The war in Iraq is not over. They've left thousands of troops over there too. It's a bunch of bullshit.
But they're not combat troops though. That's the difference.
Please, of course, the combat troops. That's what they say. They say I think they left at least 10,000 to 30,000 troops there. You know, and plus they're not going to give up a $1 billion embassy in Iraq, and they're probably building a $1 billion embassy in Afghanistan. Plus, don't forget, in Afghanistan, they found a few years ago $1 trillion worth of rare earths.
Wow, that's crazy.
The embassy in Iraq ain't worth a damn. Things are falling apart. You go to turn on the shower head, you get electrocuted.
Oh, yeah, I remember that from a couple of years ago.
That was a good rip-off.
Well, they're supposedly building a $1 billion one in Iraq. I don't know if they finished it or if it's near completion or if they've stopped it.
Well, I can't speak on the shower heads, you know, because the ones I use, you know, they weren't all that working that well. But, of course, they were 10-gallon jugs most of the time, but still.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I just find it's real interesting how they, okay, I guess I'll put it this way. You have your soldier, I mean, you have an American, let's just say an American, POW, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you have five enemy soldiers. Why not? What if the military? I know in our platoon, and I'm sure in Lowe's platoon also, we had the motto: "No one is left behind." So if you can bring that soldier home, why not?
Well, traditionally, when you're swapping POWs, you're swapping POWs of equal status. This is like saying we caught an Al Qaeda guy. He's an electrician. Now we're going to swap him for five of our generals. Now that's a great swap, okay? So this is what they're doing. They're taking a guy that ostensibly is a nobody, but who might be because of his leanings towards anti-Americanism. And they're swapping five major people for him. Now, if he's a nobody, he should be swapped for a nobody. But the thing is, another thing which is kind of confusing, is the fact that what you mentioned was that one of them is supposedly a top opium grower in Afghanistan, which contradicts what the culture was supposed to be in Afghanistan. Because after the Russians left, the Taliban came in and wiped out the poppy fields. Then we came in, and then we restored the poppy fields for the CIA.
And now you have more heroin addicts throughout the Northeast than ever before.
Yep.
In otherwise pretty pure areas, Vermont, Maine, it's an epidemic. The type of heroin that used to be found in the United States 20 years ago was primarily... and 15 years ago was primarily a Mexican tar type of heroin. Now it's heroin that comes from Afghanistan. It's not a coincidence there. As far as the people that the Taliban people, that now, you know, the media reports, from what I'm seeing, say that they're high level and they're important people. They could be in some goat herders too as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, Lauren Elvinus in the chat room stole my thunder because I was about to mention that, you know, let's look at it this way. Okay, we released those five guys. Now, in the back shadows or the dark room, wherever they plan up all this stuff, you don't think there's plans already to take these guys out?
Probably.
Yeah.
But then again. If they really wanted to take them out, why not take them out when you have them in captivity?
No, because...
No, but seriously, if you really want to take them out,
yeah,
they're
but
bargaining
seriously.
Chips.
Yeah, that, exactly. And that would, from, man, even back in 1944, that what POWs were considered, bargaining chips. You know, yeah, 1944, there was a swap between American and German soldiers, POWs. You know, of course, you know, in Vietnam, you know, we swapped soldiers with them with the promise. But here was the interesting part, the promise of $4.5 billion in post-war reconstruction of Vietnam. Of course, you know, it never happened. But see, and that is just it's just crazy. So, you know, they have always been bargaining pieces, I guess you could say. But my question is, is this considered giving in to terrorist demands, or is it just, you know, a part of what war is all about?
And it's business as usual, a part of what war is about.
No, it's giving in to terrorist demands.
Right.
That's the stuff that we don't know.
So what you're saying is basically that the Taliban is more terrorist than the Nazis.
Well,
so
the Taliban
Nazis,
is
so
a terrorist organization.
The Nazis are legitimate, and it's okay to exchange troops with them, but the Taliban is more sinister than the Nazis.
No, that's not the conclusion. The thing is, again, if back in World War II, you're exchanging troops of equal stature. So if you've got a POW who are Germans and POWs who are Americans, they both fought on the front lines. They're not of different status. They're both frontline soldiers, so you exchange them. This is something which the so-called journalists haven't investigated yet. But you've got five of these high-level people for one guy who is what? A nobody.
Joe, how high-level are Taliban people?
The Taliban by themselves aren't.
These are rural folks. These are rural folks.
One of them, supposedly.
The Taliban nowhere near matches the sophistication of the Germans and the Nazis, which still exist. There's no comparison. As far as the threat and its danger and power, the Taliban does nowhere near equate to the Nazis. The Nazis still exist. The Fourth Reich is alive. I watched Boys from Brazil yesterday.
Boys from Brazil. Is that the Gregory Peck movie?
Yeah, it's very good.
Okay.
All right, hold on. Let me bring Maze in. Yeah. Let me bring Maze in here. She's been.
Oh boy.
Hello, Maze. Welcome to the show.
Hello. It's nice that we all can have different opinions on the thing that we see. Now, they didn't want to close up Guantanamo Bay. They didn't want to put him in New York. McCain? Didn't want to put him nowhere. We don't know what those people were doing. They could have been out sheep herding or goat herding, for all we know. Probably didn't commit a crime. Just had them locked up. So if they sent five of them home to their family, good job. And the one coming back home to his family, good job. So if they build an embassy there and people are happy and can shop and do things together, that's a good deed, too. At least we're not at war.
Well, I kind of disagree with you about we're not at war. Now, the question is, who are we at war against or with? But anyway, so basically
if you elect Hillary Clinton, you're going to be at war with the Chicago Cubs.
Oh, hush, Pianki. May, so basically what you're saying is, you know, however you look at it, just families were reunited, and that's what everybody should just be happy about.
Yes, they were reunited because those people have families, and then their families would be happy because they would return home if they were goat herding and the media put a crime on them. That probably was not for real because I don't know why McCain always having a fit about something, and he was somewhere for 5 years, and that was a traitor.
I'm trying to make any type of sense. I can't make any connections between Hillary Clinton being elected and her going to war against the Chicago Cubs. Could you help me along here, Bianchi?
No, he cannot. We don't even want to hear that. We don't even hear that. We ain't even getting started with that nonsense. Okay?
That's my opinion.
No, we're not even getting started with that. You know, right. But here's the point. And, Maze, you bring an interesting insight to it. you know, but in the same token, maybe, this soldier, now, you know, just speculation because that's, you know, sometimes you need to throw it out there. Maybe he was supposed to walk off and, you know, join the Taliban or see what they were doing and stay there a specific amount of time to gather information. You have a
thought?
POW.
Yeah.
Baby Dolls 5, gather some information.
Yeah. Well, that is a mentally ill guy.
And he's mentally ill.
Well, listen, Joe. Think about it. CIA, you know, CIA agent, you embed him with a military group, you know, send him over there. He has his orders. You know, first chance you get, you know, make it look like you're walking out or whatever, and you go ahead and you do, you know, what better way to do it is let them think you're captive and learn, especially if you learn how to speak. Then that way you understand everything they're doing and their whatever plans they may have, you know. Because somebody going to get loose and talk around you. And if you understand them, that's even better. I mean, that's just a theory. Yeah, that's just
okay.
A theory.
You guys been
sounds like an
a
episode
lot
of Mission
kind
of
Impossible.
What I didn't understand was when the crazy reporter was going to say he forgot how to speak English. I'm like, in 5 years, how could he forget how to speak English?
Oh, because all you're speaking is, well, let's get back to Eric's point. Okay, so
you've
got a CIA asset.
We don't think the same.
And you're telling him.
We see things different.
Hold on, mate.
You're telling him to get captured and tortured for 5 years so that he can become, quote-unquote, embedded, so that he can listen to conversations through the prison walls to find out what the Taliban is doing.
Yeah, it's a possibility. Why not?
So he's going to allow himself to be tortured for 5 years in order to do this.
Well, he don't seem like he was tortured if he was doing emails and all of that. Seemed like he was having a good time.
Yeah, right. I mean, what are you guys smoking?
Just like friends that was supposed to be in his. I mean, everybody reporting stuff how he walked off, but at the time he did it, nobody said it.
Well,
and now they're putting stuff out there. I mean, you have to watch this media.
Off,
you can't believe everything that they have to say. You have to look at it. You have to look at it up and down. You know, like in processes, and if you was in a laboratory, but some of the stuff we hear come out of people's mouth. That's why I think we don't all think the same and see things the same way.
Well, Mace, you have to understand also, you know, when certain things happen like that within the military, you are put under a gag order. You know, so you know whether, you know, you tell them what happened, but once you have told them exactly what you think happened or what you saw happen, you can't tell anyone else until you get out, maybe. But as long as you in, no, you under a gag order, and you cannot tell anyone anything. But I go back to the original question, and this is what makes it seem so odd. You know, why he was walking out, why wasn't he stopped? And what gate, you know, and supposedly what gate did he walk out of? Because as a veteran myself, I know there was some kind of guards on the gate. So how did he just walk out and keep going and no one said anything?
Well, maybe he cut the wires and went underneath.
No, Joe.
Well, he shouldn't have walked through a gate just like that.
That's my point.
So he had to have done it a different way.
No, the point is more to it than what they're telling us.
Well, that's very possible, too. But this idea where they're going to tell somebody, look, I want you to gather intelligence for us. Please allow yourself to be, first of all, that's against any type of, what do you want to call it? Because of policy from, I guess, anybody within the State Department. I don't think they're going to say, you will be tortured for as long as they've got you, so could you please volunteer for this mission? This is stuff from TV. You know, nobody's going to propose it, and very few people would accept it. To be tortured for 5 years as a captive by the enemy. Come on, guys.
Oh, well. I'm just putting it out there, man.
You might be close to something else, but this particular scenario, which you've just introduced, can't buy that. Well, maybe he was supposedly working with the Taliban, and maybe they found out that he was a double agent. Who knows? But to just volunteer to just become a captive.
Wow. Now, see? And that makes sense. I mean, that could be it also. But, you know, I'm still stuck on the part. Number one, you know, and I think we mentioned this earlier. Why is Congress so upset that they weren't given 30-day notice when we know the possibility of them trying to add something into it which would kill the deal again was liable? So, you know, why even let them know? You know, and why is this such a big problem? You know, because 2 years ago, this same thing came up, and the deal died. You understand? So, you know, so if you take that precedent right there, you know, and you learn from it, and you know, I wouldn't go through them either, especially since you know they nickel and dime the president like crazy right now anyway. So I had to do what I had to do. You know, we can have an American soldier home. You know, his family is happy. Okay. We can go, you know, we can go and get
him. They sent Jesse Jackson to get him released.
Dennis Rodman. Yeah.
No, that wasn't going to happen, y'all. Come on now. Be for real.
You know what I think happened in this case?
What happened?
From Idaho.
Uh-huh.
And Idaho's a small state, but they have, you know, two senators. And I'm sure his family put a lot of pressure, as much as they could. And they may have pursued this as a way. The government may have pursued this. The administration may have pursued this as a way to have these couple of Idaho senators and representatives. You know, good politics is tit for tat. You know, you scratch my back, I scratch yours. You never know. But anything is possible in this story. Anything that you make up, anything that you create out of your mind is possible. It's possible. Just about any scenario is plausible.
Mm.
You know, when you said 2 years ago, as soon as you said 2 years ago, the lyrics to a rap song came in my head.
Well, if you're not going to tell us, thank God for small favors.
Oh, all right. Well, I was going to say it, but I didn't think it was appropriate. Run DMC, Sucker MCs. 2 years ago, a friend of mine asked me to say some NC rhymes.
Well, don't say any on yourself, please. All right.
I have a thought. Maybe we can have a prisoner of war exchange here on the Mr. Talk Show. Or maybe we can consider it. I'll trade you guys Michael all facts, and you can free Mr. Solutions.
Okay, anyway.
First off, Michael's welcome here. And secondly, Ms. Pollutions is not.
It's just a proposal. It's just negotiations. Just give it some thought.
Because anything's plausible, right?
All right, so let me ask this question. Being that Bergdahl is now supposedly a free man, should he, if by chance he just walked off as they say he did, should the military go after him for AWOL or deserter charges? Should the American people consider him a hero?
Why a hero?
Oh, poor kid. I mean, you want to punish him twice? He served 5 years in captivity.
But if he's a deserter, you're not a hero.
Well?
You may have suffered. You may be a poor soul. Okay, that might bring up the question, as you've already brought up, should he be punished for being a deserter, taking into consideration what he's undergone? But you know, you've got to take a look. The guy deserted. He's not going to be a hero for being a deserter.
Well, okay. He deserted. Okay, so they say. Now, I'm going to put it out there. So they say, the stories that come out. But what if we go back to the thing I mentioned earlier? And that was, it wasn't that he deserted just because he didn't want to be there, but he was mentally ill. You know, I mean, that still has to be on the table, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I agree with you.
Maybe he was suffering from PTSD, you know, or just combat fatigue, you know, to where, you know, I can't do this no more. You know what I mean? I'm tired of this. You know, and just not necessary to go to join the Taliban, just to find somewhere where it was peaceful.
you know what I said? He wanted to go to China. He didn't want to join the Taliban. If he was going to join the Taliban, he'd be more than just a deserter. He'd be a traitor.
Right. All right. So, you know, I still mess up that boy's name. I do apologize. But Berg, okay, we're going to call him Bo, Sergeant Bo. That's easy. Sergeant Bo. You know, and...
Berghoff, isn't it? Isn't it B-E-R-G-O-U-G-H, something like that?
Yeah, Bergdahl or something like that. Oh, I think I just said it right. Bergdahl. But, you know, I like I say, I find it very strange. And you know, especially for someone like John McCain, who... Well, you know what? I got a clip with John McClain.
That sucker.
He has a problem with the prisoner exchange. Yeah, so let me play this clip real fast. It's only like 3 minutes and 42 seconds. And it was yesterday on Face the Nation, so I went by and handled it. All right, so here's John McCain explaining why he had a problem with the prisoner exchange.
I want to go now to Arizona Senator John McCain, who's on the other side of the table. Senator, thank you for being with us in the studio this morning. Just give me your reaction to this.
I understand the great joy and happiness of the Bergdahl family and friends, and we're all grateful that he has returned. I think there are legitimate questions about these individuals who are being released and the conditions under which they will be released. These are the hardest of the hardcore. These are the highest high-risk people. And others that we have released have gone back into the fight. That's been documented. So, and it's disturbing to me that the Taliban are the ones that named the people to be released. So all I can say is that we need to know more information about the conditions of where they're going to be and how. But it is disturbing that these individuals would have the ability to re-enter the fight, and they are big, high-level people, possibly responsible for the deaths of thousands.
The deaths of thousands?
Absolutely. One of them was a chief intelligence person who had, they killed a lot of Shiite Muslims. These are really the toughest of the tough.
Secretary Hagel was saying that Congress could not be notified ahead of time due to the top secret nature of this mission and the fact that Bergdahl was not in good health.
Well, I understand that, and but the big issue here is what you and I just discussed. Finally, it's a little coincidence that on the day that Bergdahl is released is the day after we found out that the first American suicide bomber as part of Muslim extremist Al-Qaeda blew himself up in Syria, because we got out of Iraq, when we could have left forces behind, and now the Iraq-Syria border is a haven for these people. And the fact is that Al-Qaeda is reconstituted. The bloodiest battle of the Iraq war was the Second Battle of Fallujah. The black flags of Al-Qaeda now fly over Fallujah. This total evacuation, withdrawal from Afghanistan, pretends to be another replay of the Iraq debacle, which is now a direct threat to the United States of America. And I do not understand why the president didn't learn the lesson of Iraq, where we could have left forces behind.
What do you make of what David Ignatius just said? He said it is his understanding that Secretary Panetta said no way, no how are these five people to be released, but Secretary Hagel has signed off on it.
Well, there was discussions that I heard way back, as far back as 2 years ago, to release these people. There was a bipartisan opposition to that, but obviously, what's done is done.
Well, do you think it's some kind of a precedent being set here? Hagel says it's not negotiating with terrorists, it's a prisoner exchange.
I think the big issue here is what's going to happen to these five individuals. If they re-enter the fight, then it is going to put American lives at risk, and none of us want that to happen, not Secretary Hagel or anybody. But if they are able to have, after a year in Qatar, to do whatever they want to do, there's no doubt they'll re-enter the fight. Other ones who have been released from Guantanamo have re-entered the fight.
All right, and there you have the John McCain speaking yesterday on Face the Nation about his feelings as far as the prisoners change. You know, so what do y'all think about that? You know, go ahead.
McCain is an old war hawk that needs to go lay down someplace.
Okay. All right. You know what? That's the first decent said thing you said all day, Pianki. Congratulations. All right. Let's see. I got somebody else in here waiting. Let me bring them in. All right.
I'll take a bath in my money. I will. You
okay.
Can put a round back in that bag.
Hello. Hello. 111. Hello.
They ain't gonna know the difference, huh?
Yeah, we know the difference. We hear you. All right, maybe that was a misdial. They don't even know they own. Anyway, so interesting. So, you know, so basically, you know, that's John McCain's take on it. And once again, we goes back to, and I think Pianki just said something. Why are we still letting these so-called warmongers dictate, you know, try and get us back into a war? You know, I understand that's what it seems like. Okay.
Have you ever heard of the military industrial complex? The beast is always going to get fed.
Oh, really?
Have you ever heard of it?
Please explain that to me.
Oh, I don't know. They get about $1 trillion out of the United States budget every single year. They build weapons. They build weapons. They build Abrams tanks that even generals say we don't need any more of them. But they continue to build them.
Oh.
And, you know, and it's really not factual what McCain said, that there are no U.S. troops in Iraq, because there are. Not only are there U.S. troops, there's retired U.S. troops that work as mercenaries, just like Black Hawk, which is now defunct, but there's many other groups like that, and that are funded and paid for by the United States government.
Wow.
There are tons of mercenaries there. And there are people, you know, maybe like you, a little bit younger, that are military, retired military, they could even be fancy dudes. They can even be Army Rangers and Navy SEALs. You know, a guy like that can command a pretty penny doing mercenary work. And they exist. But the reason why, the answer to your question is that there's a very sophisticated and well-oiled and huge behemoth of a military-industrial complex that is going to get fed, and it's going to get fed first.
It's going to be fed first. Now, that's the other thing. How are they going to feed that when supposedly we're in such a big deficit that we have to cut funding to the VA and places like that, but we still make money for war and stuff like that, correct?
You're asking for some type of fairness or some type of logic or some type of accountability? Yeah, I'm not saying that you're wrong, but there is no fairness, and there is no, it's not equitable. No, it's not fair. It's not, and it's not logical, and it's not right. But it, as other people say, it is what it is.
You know, and that's interesting, because then it brings up another question. Why should we believe them anytime they say we're, you know, at this big deficit and we can't do anything else, we're not going to pay our bills, but anytime you look around, you know, we got money going overseas for something. I mean, where's the, as you say, where's the logic at? It just doesn't seem logical, and it seems as though the American people are being lied to about the real financial status of the country. You know, because evidence is saying that, you know, there's more money than what they're telling us.
Well, when you can create money out of thin air.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's where the cheating comes in.
And the interests that are being served are the interests that run and have and operate this corrupted government, which doesn't care about the people, doesn't care about the veterans. It cares about continuing to earn a profit. And it's been like that for a long time. Eisenhower warned you of it, even though he probably participated in it, but he probably saw it getting a little bit too strong. Kennedy was going to work to dismantle it, and, you know, they shot him and opened up his cabbage because of that.
Mm.
And Johnson decided to play the game, gave them what they want. And they ran buck wild and crazy and got 50,000 U.S. soldiers killed in Vietnam and maybe 3 or 4 million Vietnamese and made trillions of dollars. And they made him so unpopular, he couldn't even run for office again in 1968, a lifelong politician.
Hmm. Well. Mm-hmm.
At least that's my take on it.
That's your take on it? Where's Mr. Joe at? He been mighty quiet.
I just came back from having a snack. I caught the tail end of LBJ.
I just basically said that the military industrial complex is the reason why these illogical things take place and sending money overseas. And I just said that Eisenhower warned about the military industrial complex. Kennedy was going to actively take steps to dismantle the military-industrial complex and some banking stuff, and, you know, they shot him in his cabbage because of that. LBJ decided to play the game and gave the generals and the big military corporations what they wanted, and they ran it into the ground, killed 50,000 U.S. troops were killed, put the country in a complete uproar, and divided the country, and made Johnson so unpopular that he couldn't run for office in 1968. You don't see too many presidents after getting elected and before their 4-year term is up saying that they're not going to take the nomination of their party. In fact, that never happened. That was the only time that it happened. So.
Did you ever read a comic book about the mysteries of JFK?
A comic book?
Yeah.
No, I've read a book about him, an unauthorized biography, spoke about how he was, I don't know what the male version of a nymphomaniac was, but he liked to bang a lot of women all the time.
Because the way that you were describing it, the chronology of it, was just like what I had read online with the comic book explanation of what happened to JFK and the duplicity of LBJ, stuff like that. I mean, it just made it very simple.
Yeah, well, that's just a simple take on it.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah, I mean, and you're right. Military industrial complex, something which Eisenhower, of course, participated in and, of course, warned us against.
But is it alive and well now?
Absolutely.
All right.
I'm just asking, you know, because, you know, every time you turn around, we hear about this god dang on deficit and things of that nature. But every time you talk about it, they're talking about, well, go ahead. Let's go back to go to keep soldiers in Iraq. And when they say soldier, they mean combat, full combat units. And I don't think, you know, that's need to be done. Because let's be honest, you know, we go over there, and really, there was no reason for us to go over there, in, especially not Iraq, number one, or Afghanistan. You know, that's just the case that was thrown out there to make it seem that, that helped the American people buy into it. All right, Jones, your phone, Joe, your phone.
Not my phone.
Oh, okay. But here's the thing, you know, and it seems like they still pushing for it as though the American people have not waken up as to the lies and the deceit that's been going on. But yet they want to keep other people's children over there in war zones, and none of their children are there. You know, and that is just crazy.
Well, Mr. Talk, defense budgets put people to work. Look at the Northeast Coast, Massachusetts and Maine. Look in my area, St. Louis, with the McDonnell Douglas, now Boeing. Look at the West Coast with the things that they produce out there, and then look at the East Coast again around Maryland and so on. That keeps people working. They don't give a damn about who they kill.
Look, as long as America is winning wars, we don't care about how many of our kids die, to put it frankly.
Well, that's it. They aren't winning them, Joe.
I know.
Mean, so what's the definition of winning?
Well, to the defense contractors and to the independent companies that sell goods and services to the war machine, you know, it might be in their interest to prolong a war. A ten-year war where they're constantly selling milk and water and MREs and Band-Aids and gauze and every other thing that, boots, every other item that the military needs to sustain itself, it might be in your interest to have the war go on a little bit longer than shorter.
The military...
Why stop the gravy train?
The military canteens are just like your public schools. That stuff is assembled someplace else, shipped to the schools, and warmed up in the microwave. I think about the only one that's legitimate is the ones that occur on the boats, on the ships. Now, they have legitimate food preparation going on them.
Hmm.
You know, yeah, I wish they would employ Americans to help rebuild the infrastructure here.
Oh, really? And why is that?
Well, there's many bridges that are faulty. There's roads that need repair. The electrical grid is old and has problems.
Mm-hmm.
What's your
charity begins at home.
What's the government going to do when time comes for people to collect their Social Security, Medicare, and prescription drugs that they've been paying for 25 and 30 years?
They're going to cut them a check.
Well, I think they're going to drum up another war, as they already have over and over again. Drum up another war, and that way we can pay for it.
they're gonna cut them a check, except that money won't be able to buy what it did 3 years before, or 3 years before that, or 3 years before that.
That's like $128 trillion.
Am I the only one that goes grocery shopping here?
No, you're not.
Yeah, bacon must be for rich people now.
What must be for rich people?
Bacon, and don't mention a nice New York steak.
Oh, no, not the nice New York steak.
Good grief. The prices on that stuff have almost doubled over the past 5 years. That's inflation.
Yeah. No, that's paying for the insecticide and GMOs that they put in your food. That's what you're paying for.
Bacon is not high up on the hog.
Well, it's very popular, and it's gotten very expensive. It went from $3 to $4 a pound to $7 to $8 a pound.
I've got a supermarket ad back from 1930, and I've kept it because you could buy steak for 39 cents a pound back then.
Hell, tuna fish salad is $7 a pound.
You could buy three apples for a quarter.
Apples, yeah, right. So the prices you're seeing are ridiculous, and it ties into fuel. And these are two items, fuel and food, are two items that are not included on the Consumer Price Index, the CPI.
Right.
So they remove these things. It makes it look like inflation is at a sustainable between 2 and 3%, when it's in actuality much higher than that.
Oh. Okay.
I have to use 10 years, premium. I figured it out.
I have to use premium gas for my cars, and I pay $4.40 a gallon.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, $4.40.
Well, that's one of the ways to implode the nation.
Well, the reason why I'm mentioning that and thinking about that, normally that's not a problem. That's nothing that I think about. But it's the time of the month where, you know, I send out a lot of envelopes for all the nice people that, you know, let me live where I live and have the air conditioning on and all the other, you know, things that I've gotten accustomed to, just the basics, you know. And if it gets a little bit tight with your cash flow, you get to thinking, especially, you know, do I fill the car up? I said, no, a half tank will work. Usually filling it up is not a problem at all. But from filling it up, when it goes from $50 to $75, yeah, you have to start to, I'm starting to feel like everybody else. I got to get to work harder. But, no.
You got to get back to closing, Beasley.
Oh, I'll close every day. I close mm-hmm. every day. This is recreation. This keeps my chops good.
Yeah.
You got to
think
about
your feet.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, did you guys come across the article on trade commodities and its impact and influence on some of not only the policies but different markets? I think there was a recent article. I know it was on NPR, but I don't know if it was in the newspaper or not. But there was a big thing that was in
Pork Belly. And
yeah, it was in conjunction with the. I think it hit the same news season as the Mickelson incident, trades incident, the golfer.
I don't know,
two separate stories.
I don't know what the story said, but I bet the majority of those commodities are trading at all-time highs, right?
Yeah, especially beef. Beef, and there's another commodity that's
absolutely.
And beef's going higher.
Yeah.
NPR is doing away with its quote-unquote Negro Hour.
Oh, we'll find a way.
With Cheryl Martin, sure.
No, she's a good journalist.
Wow. Yeah, I mentioned the trades because it fell in line with what you guys were talking about regarding inflation and how you know certain markets were fluctuating and going up and down. So that's what I wanted to bring in the talk about throw in the commodity story. Seemed to kind of fit.
Commodities, gold and silver, but particularly the commodities and gold and silver, those are instruments that move directly in relation to the value of the dollar.
No,
and the value of the dollar
is what affects
what you pay for things. And they make up these little stories like, oh, there's a shortage on pigs. Or the beef producers, they're not being able to put out. That's all BS. What it comes down to is the devaluation of the dollar and it costs more, and it does cost more to produce these things. The fuel's expensive. The oats and the corn and whatever else they feed these animals are more expensive. And, you know, they pass it along.
I wonder when Mike's going to come in so I can ask him what the topic is today.
Say what?
I wonder when Michael's going to come in so I can ask him what the topic is today.
Oh, nah. Michael is busy, I think. Oh, Lord have mercy. Yeah. But anyway, it's amazing how, you know, no matter how we look at it, whether it's war or, in this case, prisoner exchange, you know, some kind of way, it always pops back to a money, you know, the cash flow that supposedly we don't have any, but everything is you know, based on that. Now, what we know about this prisoner exchange is, you know, this country, Qatar, negotiated, and, you know, five of their supposedly best got turned over, and our one soldier that was left, he came home. That's fine. Now, McCain says that we have to worry about American lives since we have released those individuals. Well, here's my thought process on it. Weren't we already worrying about American lives? You know? I mean, so what makes these cats so different? You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, do you understand?
Yeah.
Because I look at it, whether these guys were released or not, we should always be worried about, you know, American lives or just human lives, period. You know.
Yeah, I agree. You know, for some reason, every time I even hear the name McCain, John McCain, I think of John, I think it's John Perkins, the economic hitman, for some reason.
Now, he's telling what America's all about. John Perkins.
Yeah. Because when you look at John McCain, many of the things that he does, it seems like it's straight out of a John Perkins playbook, in my opinion.
Oh.
You got anybody familiar with John Perkins, the Economic Hitman books and, you know, his whole series and things of that nature?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I think Blog Talk is playing with me today for some unknown reason.
Blog Talk, you know what it's done? The stupid asses. You go to a show. Now you're listening to the show. And while you're listening, they put on one of these freaking ads. And you got to listen to the stupid ad. And then you put it on mute. Then it comes back on blasting again. It's annoying. I mean, they don't know how to take care of their customers.
Yeah. That is crazy.
Nor do they know how to take care of their hosts.
Yeah. I mean, oh, that's three times I'm going to get kicked off today. And I shouldn't be getting kicked off. But so the question came up, you know, Phil Nicholson and a couple of other folk are being investigated for insider trading. Y'all think that has any credibility to it? Or are they just looking for a scapegoat again?
You know, I saw the headline, but I know nothing about this particular incident.
But here's the thing. They say that's one of the hardest crimes to actually prove. But yet I go back to the Martha Stewart, and it seemed like they had her hook, line, and sinker. You know what I mean? So really, how hard is it to prove that you got information from someone? If they say, yeah, I gave them information, isn't that the same? Isn't that enough proof for you? Or does it become the same as he say, she say?
Well, if they have somebody who's a witness who's going to say, yeah, I supplied the type of information which I shouldn't have supplied, and these people use that information for insider purposes, that's one thing. But if they don't have that particular witness, then they're going to have to go and try to convict based on circumstantial evidence.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a lot like when the FBI is building a case on drug lords. you know, or cartels. You know, you can use everything from wiretaps to, you know, eyewitnesses, people who have actually engaged in discussion to, you know, auditing bank accounts, looking at, you know, how money was passed, and just pretty much linking. I believe linking people to different people and their relationships can open some eyes on a variety of different ways. You know, agencies like that, those types of government agencies, they're gonna make sure that they have a lot of concrete evidence before they pursue anybody.
Well, no, what build I'm up saying a, is that a big they're gonna case. Convict based on circumstantial evidence. So they don't have a lot of smoking gun evidence. They base upon, they convict based upon connecting the dots and hoping that the jury agrees with their particular philosophy.
Hmm.
Most cases, but in criminal cases too, are won by the feds or by the prosecution based on circumstantial evidence. And eyewitness testimony is the worst type of evidence.
The whole wide world, man. She sucked my toes so good, I nutted on myself. She gave me a fucking pedicure, and I needed to. She gave me a pedicure on my yellow ass feet, dog. Oh my God. Woo! So guess what?
Is that Cloud?
Or that no,
me?
That was
no, that definitely wasn't me.
Was that you, Beasley?
Well, he's on mute right now. I haven't found him.
It wasn't yet. Yankee. Was that you?
No. That was Beasley. Good Lord. Wow.
So we know what you listen to, Beasley, when you...
We know what he's doing now. All right.
Oh, boy. Oh, God. You're out of the bag now, Beas.
Yeah, buddy, you done put it out there,
Beasley. Suck on my toes. Can you suck on my toes?
Yeah, buddy, he done put it out there now. Beasley, you can't hide.
Sorry,
your cover has been blown. That was a guy talking too, wasn't it?
What were they saying? Is I really like you sucking on my toes or something?
Sound like me, wasn't it?
No, that wasn't no May. that was just a man. Yeah, y'all can leave May's alone. She ain't here to defend herself. You know what, Pianca? I think you got a thing for May's because you always bothering her.
No, May's is married. I don't mess with married women. I am.
But that's not saying that you don't have a thing for her.
What kind of thing? What's a thing?
Yeah, okay. Play dumb.
Hello, I can speak for myself.
Okay, go ahead then, Maze.
No, that wasn't me, Pianki. You probably be somebody will sucking your toes, but it wasn't me.
I didn't think it was you, Maze, but it sounded, you know.
Oh, you missed me because I was not online. That's what it was.
I'm going to have to come down there, come down there to Alabama and have dinner with you and your husband one day and see exactly what you're working with.
You going to be down there by yourself because I don't live in Alabama.
Mason, why did you tell us that? I thought you said you live in Alabama.
I live in Ohio. I did not say I was born there. I didn't say I lived there. Get it straight.
All right.
Okay. But the man was saying she sucked my toes. That's what he was saying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He said she.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I'm like, what in the world?
All right. So somebody was getting their toes sucked, and it wasn't Beasley, huh?
Beasley was just watching.
All right. Wow.
Maybe it was Block Top playing a game with you.
I don't know about that.
That was because trust me, I went through the whole lineup. It had to be Beasley.
Oh, well, it wasn't me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. All right, Beasley, but I unmuted you now. Go ahead.
I've been saying I thought you guys were hearing me. I was like, excuse me. Yeah, that was me, accidentally. Well, not really me. That was a YouTube video I was watching. These guys have a war with each other, and he was telling the other guy about how he was going to marry his mama, and his mama was going to be sucking his toes. And it just was a little more fascinating to me than the conversation. But I'm sorry. My bad. I should have put it on mute.
Yeah,
you guys heard the whole
been,
thing.
A little bit more fascinating watching a mother sucking her.
No, it wasn't really watching. He's just challenging him. He was showing his feet off.
Challenging.
Yeah, just, you know, they're playing the dozens. They're playing the dozens. It's like the high-tech dozens where you play the dozens on a YouTube video.
Ah, so that was it. So no sex involved. It was just ranking.
Well, not yet, but, you know, the proposal's
out
there.
It sounds like something Joe would enjoy.
Well, sucking toes? Nah, I don't like that. I actually don't like sucking toes. No.
Okay.
I'm saying what these were watching. I ain't saying nothing about the sucking toes. I said maybe something like something Joe likes, since he likes to talk about love.
No, I don't like the watching of the sucking of toes. I don't like the sucking of toes.
Oh, whatever.
All righty then.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Hold up. So wait a minute, Maze. So are you saying that's a part of the relationship, sexual part of it, that everybody should try at least once?
No, I'm saying Joe likes relationship shows, so maybe that has something to do with relationships too.
That's Ebony Empress.
I don't think I've ever sucked any toes, but you know, I don't think that's necessarily off limits. If you know, there's, you know, if that's what floats.
Yeah, I mean, there's
nothing wrong
with it.
Both, that should be cool. I know there are people that are into it, and there are people with foot fetishes.
I mean, and I have a foot fetish, but sucking toes is...
You like toes, then, Joe?
I don't like toes. I'm not.
You like foot fetish? Just like toes.
I have a foot fetish. I don't like sucking toes.
Do what?
I don't know what you said.
We know it.
I mean, I have no idea what was for you, but okay. Lord have mercy. Sucking toes, sucking fingers. I'm not gonna go any further than that. You know, I'm kind of with y'all. To each his own. Whatever y'all like to do for each other. You know, hopefully it's a reciprocal type of thing. If you know what I mean.
Right.
And you're not the only one doing all the fucking and kissing
right.
and rubbing. Stuff. Yeah.
Right. No 68 and I owe you one. A fair exchange is no robbery.
Yeah, okay. Wow. And how would you bring that up anyway? If that was the case, how would you bring it up that you would actually like to have some reciprocation, you know, from what you do? How would you bring that up in a relationship?
Talk about it.
Yeah, what?
Talk about it. Yeah, you can either talk about it, but, you know, things is best when things happen organically, naturally.
But okay, but you
and
have
if it does, man, you put it out there. What you got to lose?
Okay, but you already said that it's not. Look, it's not going to happen like that, right? So
with sucking toes.
Yeah.
Well, that's for me. Beasley doesn't mind.
I don't know. I've never sucked any toes, but you know, if it comes down to pleasing your woman, I guess if they were clean enough. I've eaten pig's feet, so I mean. I mean, I wouldn't say that I would never do it. I mean, it's not what necessarily turns me on, but you know, it's about pleasing your partner, isn't it?
I can't disagree with you, B.
Right, and when both partners are actively trying to please each other, you know, you can have some really blissful, nice, peaceful, harmonious times.
Mm-hmm.
Makes you think, like, you know, it's worth it all when you're debating and arguing about shit that doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
That's the yin part of the yang.
Mm-hmm.
Really? So what? All right, and that's just that simple: the yin with the yang.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the good with the bad, the pros and the cons, factually.
Sexually. Okay, so
sexually. No, I said factually, but you said sexually. But yeah.
Here's another question, though, out of chat room. What is the marginal utility of sucking toes?
I don't see the need for it. But you know, everybody's ship sails a little bit differently. Whatever floats their boat.
Okay. Well, hold on. Let me bring Renee in. She has her hand up. Hello, Miss Renee. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, I was over here. I'm cleaning up my bathroom, and I'm like, yeah, I was just hearing what somebody was saying, and I was about to have to clean up my bathroom again because it was making my stomach turn. But, yeah, but it's that's all. I was just getting on the line.
You just wanted to come in to say that your stomach was turning because you heard the
My stomach was turning, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So you're not a participant of the toe-sucking community, huh?
Oh, absolutely not. No, I'm good. Nothing.
Okay.
No, thank you.
All right, I'm just asking.
But, you know, I don't know, for whatever reason, you know, a lot of men, they like that. I think that's a male thing. That's not a female thing.
The male thing to get their toes sucked or the male thing to suck toes?
The male thing to suck toes.
Oh, well, I've never done it, but I've eaten pig's feet, so... So if I
Lord.
And pigs walk around in mud and shit and all kinds of stuff all day long. Now, of course, the pig's feet are clean real good and boiled a couple times, but just putting it in perspective.
So why don't you just wash the feet first?
You know, I'll have to cross that bridge when I get to it. It hasn't come along. In all these years.
Wow.
It's nothing that I would look forward to doing.
Mm.
But, you know.
Uh-huh. I know, huh? No.
But I know there's some people listening that maybe even the panel that have had a foot in their mouth before.
Some of them have feet in their mouth every day. Shoot.
Amen to that.
But anyway.
Yeah, exactly. You mean literally or figuratively?
Both ways. That's what makes it a funny little comment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I'm leaving all that alone. Let's see. We got somebody else with their hand up. Interesting. 111. Welcome to the show.
My phone keeps cutting off.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry.
Y'all hanging my auntie up on purpose.
No,
what?
I'm just playing.
Okay.
I look out for my auntie Mamie.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everybody's looking out for you, auntie Mamie.
Some people have pretty toes.
Okay, so what they got to do? So what they got to do?
And they might be doing some whipped cream or some strawberries or something like that.
You know, if you really think about it, a clean, sanitized foot, I mean, most people give and receive oral sex. That's not a taboo. It goes down. But a foot... I mean, a clean and a sanitized foot doesn't seem to carry the same type of problems or situations that a vagina or a penis may have. But people actively engage in oral sex, but a foot is somehow taboo.
But see, the foot is the most important part of the body because it can get rid of a headache. It can get rid of pain. It depends on where you're massaging it.
And you know what? Reflexology is real. You're right. All of the nerve endings, all of your nerve endings are in your feet. Reflexology is a real science that my doctor, when I talked to him about it, because I go from time to time to get an hour-long foot massage.
And you need to know what foot.
They work your whole foot. I'll find myself coming home after the foot massage. I feel good, and I'll find myself having two or three bowel movements, and I take a nap for about 3 or 4 hours. And I wake up feeling great.
TMI.
No, what I'm trying to tell you, man, come on. But you guys may think it's silly that Mr. Solution says that, but bowel movements are an important component to your health.
The foot is the key to your soul more so than your brain, because the foot has the power of healing. Each toe has something to deal with inside your body. One is for the liver, one is for the brain, and all different. Hello?
Shoot, all the little parts. And if you were to,
all the little parts
to,
is in the foot.
If you were to Google
if
you were to Google reflexology, it'll show you the foot and it'll show you all the different parts. So maybe if someone didn't suck your toes, if they can give you a nice, strong, healthy foot massage, it has its benefits.
Yes, it does.
Okay.
If you don't get that time, when you get home to your wife, give her a good massage and she'll be happy with you.
What?
I told Pianki, when you get home, massage this woman's feet, and she'll be happy with it.
Oh, okay. I don't know who. Okay, whoever you're telling that to, but okay.
Pianki.
Oh, Pianki gone.
Oh, he left.
Yeah, Pianki.
Well, that would go for anybody.
Pianki said he want to come massage your feet.
No, I have a man to do my feet. I don't need him.
Well, you do, but you do have two.
Yes, I do, but he can take care of both of them.
Okay, all right.
Okay, Mrs. Bob. We're not on Ebony's show.
Well, I mean, hey, after you massage.
But next time Joe on Ebony's show, he can talk about his foot fetish and see the most important part of what he can do with it.
You know, I haven't been on Ebony's show in weeks.
Yeah, I think Joe is boycotting.
No, I'm not boycotting her. I just...
You got fired.
Yeah.
You got fired.
I didn't get fired.
Oh, that's
no,
what it is?
No, I didn't. I resigned.
Okay, he resigned.
Oh, what else?
Well, he took a higher paying position with more prestige over here on the Mr. Talk Show.
Yeah,
he's the unofficial assistant co-host.
Yeah. I get paid a lot more.
It wasn't a lateral move. It was an ascending move.
Is Renee still on?
Yes, Renee still on.
You can look it up and see. She'll find something happens in there somewhere.
Huh?
Reflexology.
Tell her to look it up. She'll find something in there. She'll be shocked. What? About the foot fetish and having a massage in your feet and all the things that can help you with?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Like, I have no idea what she's talking about.
I didn't know what she said either, but... Okay.
She's talking about reflexology. She's talking about all the nerve endings and how their relation to all the organs and everything in your body. It can cure headaches, migraines, all types of things.
Mm. Well, okay. I got some things that'll cure all that.
You don't have to do the medication.
No,
what's that, Mr.
Talk?
That's like
yellow. Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, she just walked in the door.
Uh-oh.
Well, mom's the word now.
Talk to her, do nothing, and she'll be happy.
Apparently, reflexology, it applies to the hands as well.
Yes.
And also the ears. I think it applies a lot of the same principles that acupuncture does. And
yes,
I know people that have had ailments and problems for long term, and acupuncture has done them some good, particularly a woman I know that had severe migraine headaches.
Yeah. You know, I always wanted to try acupuncture. I really did, too. Maybe I put that on the bucket list. Maybe on my deathbed to have come in and help me move around.
Then, it's a little late. I think you can go get an acupuncture session for anywhere between $40 and $60. It's not that expensive. I guess the VA doesn't. It may not be approved by the VA because they'd rather just give you some drugs.
Yeah, either that or a chiropractor. I think I'm going for the chiropractor first.
Chiropractors are good too.
But you have a sciatic nerve or something?
Huh?
You have a sciatic nerve on your back or something? Or you just going to a chiropractor?
I'm just going.
Oh, okay.
I got a... No, I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say I got a nerve, all right. But I'm not even going there. Oh, Lord. Oh, man. Y'all done had it, boy, I tell you. All right, y'all know what I'm...
Later comes
with
age, you know that.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. That's a real good one. All right, I'm going to get up out of here, man, because I got to go and prepare a meal, so I got to go. Anyway, I'm going to let y'all get y'all last words in, like I always do, and we're going to start with Joe. Joe, your last words, sir. Uh-oh, hold on. My bad. Okay, now you can talk, Joe.
Oh, okay. Nothing to say. Just see you all when I see you.
All right. See you tomorrow. Have okay. fun. All right. Mr. Beasley, are you there?
Everybody have a nice day, and we'll see you soon.
All right. Now you can go and watch your little naked video. Later.
Well, all right, never mind.
Yeah, okay.
But the naked.
of course, Renee, you're up.
Hi, and bye. That's it.
Okay. And let's see. Maze, you're last but not least.
Sometimes laughter is better than whining. And it was a nice day today. And y'all have a good one.
All right, you too. Thank you. All right. And, of course, I can't leave out here without letting my co-host get his words in. Mr. King, what you got for me, man?
Oh, man, another awesome show. Everybody enjoy the rest of your day.
All righty. Thank you, sir. And you enjoy yours as well. All right, y'all. That's going to do it for me. Y'all know we'll be here tomorrow, 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, and whatever it is, mountain time. Oh, man, I'm telling you. Interesting. Well, you know, before I get out of here, we were talking about this prisoner swap, and, you know, all of a sudden there's a whole lot of speculation whether this guy should be a hero or a deserter or, you know, anything. In perspective, I want us to realize that, you know, there's points where we jump to conclusions too early without getting the whole story. You know, mainstream media often fills our heads with images that they want us to see an individual as. But it's up to us to take the time and navigate through the false flags to get to the truth. If we concentrated more on that, I believe we would be able to hold the government to a higher standard, because we will actually know what is really going on. All right. Well, that's going to do it for me, y'all. I just had to put that out there. It hopped in my mind. All right. So this is what's going to happen, y'all. Tomorrow, 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, 1 Mountain Time. Remember, keep smiling, show appreciation, forgive with an open heart. And first, make sure you're forgiving yourself first. And last but not least, learn to laugh at yourself. If you can laugh at yourself, then everything else is gravy. All right? So until tomorrow, y'all, y'all have a good one. This has been Let's Talk. And I'm your host, Mr. Talk. And for my co-host, Keem, a.k.a. Cloud Nation Radio, we'll see y'all tomorrow, man. Y'all have fun. Later.